الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال تعالى بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصلي على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات ونمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه متفق على صحته أمير المؤمنين أبو حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه says I heard رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم say إنما الأعمال بالنيات indeed the foundation of actions is upon the intention and For each person is but what he intends for, is nothing but what he intends for. So whoever's hijrah, whoever's migration is to Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his hijrah and migration is to Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever's hijrah, migration is for the purpose of a worldly gain, which he wishes to achieve, or towards a woman so that he may marry her, then his hijrah migration is to that what to which he migrated for. As was mentioned last week, the first hadith of Riyadu Salihin is the hadith of intention, hadith al niyat, and the muhaddithin have made it a practice that the beginning of their books would often be started with this hadith, with this intention that it may serve as a reminder for the writer as well and for the reader as well. And in our case, for the one who is giving the dars and one who is listening to the dars, our intention should be correct in order for us to benefit. And this aspect of niyyah is so important that I felt it befitting. I will not go through all the aspects of niyyah in one lesson or one or two lessons. I will do a part of, or I will touch on one aspect and then we will discuss from the Kitab Adab al-Ta'am, the etiquettes of food and eating, so that we can go back with something practical as well. So, with regards to this chapter of Ikhlas, so first of all, Ikhlas is an amal, it is an action of the qalb, of the heart. It is something that a person will do with his heart. It is not something physical that he is doing. So we learn from this that the sharia and our deen does not only touch and talk on topics which are to do with the physical a'mal. In the various a'mal that we find in deen, we can split them into two. One is those actions which we carry out with our physical body. So whether it be giving sadaqah, whether it be performing salah, whether it be hajj, umrah, we are all doing this with our physical body. But there are certain actions, certain things which the deen has encouraged us to do, and certain things which the deen has said we must stay away from, and there is no physical aspect to it. For example, لا يحب أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That none of you will be a complete believer until he loves for himself what he loves for others, what we call khair khahi in Urdu. To have a feeling of or wanting good for your brother. So there's no physical action in here. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that your iman is incomplete until you do this. So there's nothing physical that has been demanded from us. So one aspect of our deen is the physical a'mal. And the other aspect, it is the a'mal of the qalb, the actions of the heart. Some actions of the physical body, they are to carry out. And some of them are to abstain from. So we are to perform salah, and we are to abstain from missing salah. We are to perform salah, so this is a doing action from the physical aspect. And to abstain from missing salah, this is also something physical, and this is something we have to do. So similarly, the heart also, there are certain actions that we have to do with the heart, and certain actions that we have to keep our heart away from. For example, hasad, jealousy, hatred, excessive or greed, excessive love for the world. These are things that we must keep our heart away from. So we learn that the deen has two aspects. Unfortunately, today, because we have ignored this internal aspect of deen, our relationship with deen, it is very superficial. Our heart, we don't enjoy anything. We don't feel the presence of salah. Because everything is physical. Whereas the physical actions also, so it is obvious the connection that the internal a'mal, the heart, actions of the qalb and the heart, the relationship with the heart is black and white, it is clear. But even the physical a'mal, within the physical a'mal, each physical amal, each physical action, the heart is also required to have a state, and that is the state of ikhlas. And ikhlas is that a person does an action for the sake of the for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember once whilst I was studying, my most beloved and dear Shaykh Hazrat Salim Durat Hafidahullah, he, when we left the masjid and we came out behind Shaykh, and he turned back to us and there was a few students. So he said, why are you studying? So he asked one student, why are you studying? So one student said, because I'm trying to learn the deen of Allah. And another said, I'm studying because I want to be able to guide the people. And various answers. So Hazrat said, Kimi, this is not the intention. These are all secondary intentions. The first intention behind every amal is that I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each amal that I am doing, it is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a Shaykh rahmatullahi alayh, he used to say, na khanqah maqsood hai, na jamaat mein nikalna maqsood hai, na madrasa maqsood hai. Going out in da'wat and tabligh, this is not an objective. Teaching in a madrasa, learning in a madrasa, this is not objective. Going to participate in a khanqah where a person concentrates on his spiritual self, even this is not the objective. Phir Hazrat agli baat kehte, then he would emphasize it even more. He said, Mufti mujh par fatwa na lagaye, na haj maqsood hai, na zakat maqsood hai, na namaz maqsood hai. He said, even more I am saying, these are nafil actions. Learning in a madrasa, this is in one aspect nafil. But performing salah is fard. When hajj becomes obligation falls on a person, it is now fard. So he used to say, but even these things are not maqsood, these things are not the goal. Maqsood to hai rizai ilahi. The true goal is that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us. And Allah has informed us that He will become pleased with us when we perform our salah. He will become pleased with us when we go, when we perform hajj, when we give zakah. A means of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is studying in a madrasa so that we can learn what Allah requires from us. A means of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is participating in da'wat and tabligh so that we can bring deen into our lives and those around us. So, these actions within themselves are not the goal. But rather the ultimate goal is that we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person makes this his objective, then he will find that now he has a goal. My Shaykh, he says, our example, the example of our deen, or deen for us, because we have completely ignored this aspect of the batin, the inner self. So we come to salah, we go back from salah. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, even maybe tahajjud. Even maybe tahajjud. We are doing so much, but because there is no internal intention behind it, we do not get anything from our salah. We feel salah is a burden on us. Maybe once in a while when our heart is softened because we had a bayan where the points of the hereafter were mentioned, so we feel a bit more inclined on those occasions. But in general, because we haven't concentrated on the qalb, on the internal self, our, as it says, ki bhai, hamari gari jo hai, usko tow kiya ja raha hai. Our car is being towed. So such a car is being moved, it's not moving itself. And as it says, ki when we are able to bring the internal aspect of deen into our lives, then we will find that now our car is not being towed, our vehicle is not being towed, we have put petrol in our car and now we are flying, we are moving forward. So when a person, he does an amal because he wants to please Allah. I'm going to perform four rakats fard salah because if I do, I will get Jannah. If I don't, I will be punished. And another is that he wants to please Allah. Why? Because Allah has given me so much. Allah has given me this, that. Allah has given me peace. Allah Ta'ala has given me health, wealth, you know, pious children, obedient children, a comfortable home. He has saved me from so many difficulties. So because of this, I feel that it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I perform these four rakats fard for His pleasure as a form of shukr and gratitude. Now the difference between the four rakat salah that we are performing before and now there will be a major change. Even when it comes to learning deen, why do we want to learn deen? Why are we participating in this dars? Because the durus happen in the masjid and we, you know, it's part of our timetable, nay. Because we want to learn, what does Allah Ta'ala want from me? And then I want to do those things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that He becomes pleased. Even Jannah and Jahannam, these are the places where the happiness and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is manifested. So that is why once Rabia Bisriya rahmatullahi alayha, someone saw her, she came out of the home in her parda and she's got a bucket of water and she had a lantern lit. You know, in the days, people said, what are you doing? So he said, with this water, I'm going to put out the flame. And this flame I'm going to use to, get rid of this water. And I'm going to tell people, that now there is no Jannah and Jahannam. It was a representation. There is no Jannah and Jahannam. Now worship Allah for Him. How many of us worship Allah because of Allah? How many of us worship Allah? We do an amal because we want to make Allah happy. But hamara jo hai, jaise ki danda wala mamla hai. Because we are scared of punishment. Or jo hai, because we had certain virtue about Jannah and this is why. But what about Allah? Allah, what about the one who we need to worship? This is like a son who listens to his father because he knows every time I listen to my father, he gives me £5 or he gives me a pound and he says, you can have this, that and the other. But the father, even the father, he doesn't feel with the son that no, he's, you know, doing it for me because he loves me. And even the son, he doesn't feel that his connection is with his father. It is with the money. It is with the blessing. So we need to, you know, bring this aspect into deen. That the internal must be also according to the actions of Allah, the demands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the qalb, the internal self, how does a person work on this? There are two basic ways that a person can work on this. Number one, you know, if you want to understand this analogy of the heart and its role in Sharia, we can understand from this. That a person who becomes unwell, he's sick. So if you feed him, food will not do any good to him. Food will not benefit him. Because his body is not able to benefit from that food. So it is like a person, so because our hearts are, you know, soiled with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have not worked on the purification of the heart. So now we perform four rakat salah, but we do not benefit from that salah. We do not come away from that salah as if something, you know, we have done something major. Ali radiallahu anhu, before he would perform salah, people noticed that when he would do wudu, he would become pale. So someone asked him that, Ali, you know, every time we see you making do wudu, see you making, performing ablution, you become pale. Why is this? So he said, don't you know who we are about to stand in front of? This is before salah. So what was his condition in salah? How would he benefit from salah? This was all because the inner aspect was rectified. But because we have soiled our hearts with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do all these actions, but the benefit that should come out from it, we do not go away with it. So, the sick person who wishes to benefit from the food that he is taking in, what will he need to do? He will need to treat himself. He will need to enter into, you know, take admission into a hospital. So this is this hospital in the field of the heart. What is it? It is the company of the Ahlullah, the people of the heart. And if we study the ahadith carefully, we will find that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were very particular with regards to this aspect. We have all heard the incident of Handala radiallahu anhu, that he came out from the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Nafaqa Handala, Nafaqa Handala. That Handala has become a munafiq, he has become a hypocrite. So who did he go to deal with this internal feeling of his? He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he put this condition before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to rectify the qalb, the illnesses of the heart, we will need to go to the doctors of the heart, which are the mashayikh. Frequent their company. Those people who, when we see them, we say, this is a person of Allah. Yes, sahib dil hai. This is a person of the heart. And number, so this is the first thing. Number two, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take a minute or two out at least. Start with this and think that my Allah is watching me with much love. My Allah is watching me with much love. You know, go think about this for a minute, then 2 minutes. And in seclusion, maybe after some salah, take some time out and ponder over this fact that my Allah is watching me with much love. We'll slowly find that we want to do an amal for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the dhikr is like the medicine. The dhikr is like the treatment. So the hospital is the environment of the mashayikh, the company of the Ahlullah. And the dhikr is like the medicine. When this person stays in the hospital under the treatment of the specialist for a certain period of time, he will then find that he is now benefiting from what he is taking in. So now, when we do this, we will find that our salah will benefit us. Our sadaqah will benefit us. Our sawm, our fasting will benefit us. So this is, you know, I will end here on from this aspect, that this is the importance of the heart. So we need to concentrate on the qalb, concentrate on the internal aspect of deen. Inshallah, we will go into more detail on another occasion. Kitab Adab al-Ta'am, Bab al-Tasmiyat fi awalihi walhamdu fi akhirihi. The book with regards to the adab of ta'am, Bab al-Tasmiyah, the chapter on saying Bismillah fi awalihi, in, at the beginning of eating, walhamdi fi akhirihi, and saying Alhamdulillah at the end. And Umar ibn Abi Salamah radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma qala li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sammillah wa kul bi yameenik wa kul mimma yaleek, muttafaqun alayh. Amr ibn Abi Salamah radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he was the son of Umar ibn Abi Salamah. He was the son of Abu Salamah and Umm Salamah radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. And Abu Salamah radiyallahu anhu, after he passed away, Umm Salamah radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, you know, this husband of yours, she would say that, you know, how can I have a husband better than Abu Salamah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, make a dua. Allahumma jurni fi musibati wa khlufni khayran minhu. Oh Allah, reward me in my difficulty and give me something better. She says that a few days had passed when I received a request for nikah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this thought of mine that how can there be someone better than Abu Salamah was answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala blessed me with the nikah and marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when she was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she came with Abu Salamah Umar ibn Abi Salamah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married a woman with children, which is unfortunately seen as a aib and a fault in our times. So, you know, people will, you know, we will have heard incidents where the proposed husband is willing to marry, but he puts a condition that I will not look after the children. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring the children. And not only did he bring the children, we learn from this hadith that how did he behave with this child. This is his stepson. But look, in the lengthy hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar ibn Abi Salama, he says that كانت يدي تطيش في الصحفة. My hand would be immature in the plate. This is the literal translation. So he's supposed to say, I was immature in eating, but my hand was immature. It was here and there, and I was taking meat from here, everywhere. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't just become frustrated, as happens with stepchildren, but rather with much love, he educated this child. And look at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya ghulam, O my beloved son. You know, shafqa and kindness to our children, this is something we have forgotten. We become frustrated. Our child does something silly, we become frustrated. Yes, there may be incidents where we will need to show anger, but this anger needs to be controlled. وَنَّا هَمَّ اور بَچَّ مِنْ فَرْقْ كَيَا رَهَا بچہ جو ہے اپنی نادانی میں شرارت کرتا ہے اور ہم بھی جو ہے بے خود ہو کر ناراض ہو جاتے ہیں. What is the child between us, difference between us and a child? We need to analyze that. Over here, do I need to become angry? How angry do I need to become? How many times have I been angry with this child? Will it benefit him? But we do not learn these things, and we show harshness to our children, and this is why our children become disconnected from us. You know, my sheikh, he would say with regards to his sheikh, ke bhai, apne bachon ko sone ka lukma khilao. Feed your children morsels of gold, lekin sher jaisi nazar rakho. But keep an eye on them like an iron keeps its eye on its prey. Not because this child is evil, this child is a commodity for us. If we nurture this child to be an obedient person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is a commodity. He may intercede for us in the hereafter. So a child is a commodity for us. When we behave with our children like this, then, our frustration, we will eat it. So look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with much love. He says, Ya ghulam, O my beloved son, sammillah, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kul biyameenik, and eat with your right hand, wa kul mimma yaleek, and eat from your side. Look at the teaching and the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his expertise in tarbiyah. The actual mistake that he was making was what? That his hands was going all around the plate. And which mistake did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam point out last? The mistake of eating from, so that this child doesn't feel that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became frustrated at me because my hand, he said, do this and do this and also do this as well. So this is how a person should, if we find a mistake of someone, a fault of someone, then with good intention, we should, first try and mention a positive point. But mashallah, ya salah, you perform salah and you take so much time out. Just one thing that you are making a mistake, if you were to do this, it would make your salah even better. So now automatically, this habit that we have, that we become defensive, you have disarmed the person. Because this person is coming from a place of sincerity and love. So when we nurture our children or anyone around us, another point that we can take from here is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an active role in the tarbiyah of his stepson. Unfortunately today, even those involved in deeni works, involved in nasiha and bringing people towards deen, this is only for people outside. For the home, there is no nasiha. For the home, there is no tarbiyah. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. That you save yourselves and your family from Jahannam. If each person was to do this, then half the job is done. But because we unfortunately, and the reason I feel this happens is because we behave with our family in such a way that a point comes that there are so many veils that we can't say anything to the son. So many people experience this, that we behave with our child in such a way that we eventually create such barriers that we cannot say one word to our child. We cannot say one word to our son because we fear revolt. But, there it is not only the parents' fault also, but this is also one aspect, that have we kept a relationship with our children whereby we can say something to them and they will take it well. This is natural, that if someone is always hitting you, then when he hits you, let me give an example. There is a person, I'm always hitting him. And one day he's about to step on something, and I, you know, push him away because he was about to hurt himself badly. So how will he react that he's hitting me again? Whereas I'm trying to save him from harm. So our relationship with our children is similar to this. That all the time it is frustration. It is frustration. And the one time where we are actually sincere in their right, because it is, you know, preceded with so much animosity, the child doesn't take it well. And the proof that our majority of the time our care for this child is not from a place of sincerity is that until the child doesn't do something which makes our name bad in the community, we do not bat an eyelid. This is an unfortunate truth. Our son, for years he will not perform Fajr Salah, we will not say nothing. But the moment we see that he is hanging around with people on the streets who the community knows are up to no good, then after we will, you know, sweat will start to come. Why? Because the people will talk bad. But until now he has been displeasing Allah, nothing. Until now he has been making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry, nothing. Why? Because we are not worried about him, we are worried about our name in the community. So this should not be the case, my friends. Our children are, you know, so many times we become angry on a child, especially at 10, 11, 12, 13 year old, when he starts to pick up bad habits from school, then we become angry. But he is only a child. But a child will do this. A child will, you know, it hasn't yet developed this ability to judge without someone informing it that this is something good for me, this is something I will enjoy, but it is bad for me. This is our role. But we do not assume this role and we become angry at this child. That you should have known this was them. Nay, explain to the child, shafqat ke saad, with love, bring it towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Explain to this child, but better, if you do this, this will happen. How many of us say to our children, beta? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his stepson, look how much love he is giving him. So, and unfortunately, like I said, we have made barriers. So now, if we are to go home and say, you know, we'll have to force ourselves. We'll have to force ourselves. Because we can't bring it on the tongue. Because we have closed this chapter. If you need to, then do it by force. But slowly but surely you will find that there is love between the child, between the father and the son. How many sons and daughters come in the home and they live in a hotel. We have developed a relationship with our child that they live in a hotel. They come, they eat, they sleep and they go. They live outside, they do not live in the home. So this is a hotel. A home should be a place where the son can confide in. And this will happen when, and the father must take the upper hand, he must take the, you know, lead. The father, a son may not appreciate the father, but a father can appreciate the son. So learn this, the first lesson we learn from this hadith is, that when we nurture someone, whether it be our children or someone else we are responsible for, we do it with love. Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, we hear of Umar radiallahu anhu as this, you know, mighty person who everyone was fearful of. But once Umar radiallahu anhu, he was sat in a majlis and one of his governors had come to visit him. So Umar radiallahu anhu's son came, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he took this son in his lap and he kissed him and he played with him a little. So he was taken aback. He said, "You kiss your children?" He said, "You kiss your children?" So he said, "Well, you saw, do you kiss your children?" He said, "No." So he said, "Kibay, from tomorrow you are not a governor. With you?" He said, "If you cannot show shafqa and kindness to your child, then I do not trust you to show shafqa and mercy towards those who have made you a leader over." Umar radiallahu anhu, this is how much importance he gave to being, you know, kind and merciful. So let us take this aspect back, that when we find a fault in someone, sometimes we may even become angry. They can first think, you know, let that moment of anger subside, and then think that what is my objective? Am I angry because he has disobeyed me, or am I angry because he has disobeyed Allah? If I am angry because he has disobeyed me, then I will swallow this. If I am angry because he has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is harming himself. And because he is harming myself and I love him, now I will need to think of the best and most effective way of saving him from this harm. You know, when a person is ill on the hospital bed, And especially with young children, but even sometimes when someone is so ill, we know that if he consumes so and so, he will become more ill. But because he is so ill, even this frustration of not being able to eat what this sick person wants, that will also increase the illness. So we think that let me not give him this particular food without making him frustrated. We'll say, I will give you that, but first take this. And it's just going to warm, and he'll fall asleep. We'll think of ways to save this person from harm and benefit it. So if our intention with those around us is of islah and sincerity, to bring them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to first have a soft approach. And I am not saying that always be soft. This is something, tarbiyah is something we need to learn. But this default reaction of ours of becoming frustrated, it doesn't do any good, especially in our time. Especially in our time where the youngsters, they have so many alternatives. Before, you know, it was if a child was to revolt against the father, then he would have nowhere to go. But now there are so many friends he can go to. There are so many outlets that he can take popularity and love from. My sheikh, he says, ke bhai apne humne apne bachchon ko muhabbat nahi di, isliye wo ladkiyon ke chakkar mein pad gaye. We didn't give our children love, so they went to look for love in illicit relationships. Humne apne bachchon ko izzat nahi di, isliye wo gangs mein jo hai sharik hone lage. We didn't give our children honor in the home, so now they go to look for honor outside. Some people, bas bachche ko, he's there on the side. Hazrat says, you're planning a family holiday, so what you should do is that ask the child, better, where do you think we should go? It's not necessary that you do amal on what he says, but the child will feel appreciated. And especially when these outlets are available, you must give an alternative. So, this is the lesson we go back with. Okay? When we nurture someone, it should come from a place of love. Haq baat, haq tariqe se, sahi waqt mein kahi gayi uska asar hota hai. Truth, when it is said with the correct intention, in the correct method, it will always have a good effect. Allah Ta'ala, give us all the tawfiq to practice upon what these points have been learned. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.